teachings of God's Word, things that will help us make disciples. Okay, Luke 14, we're going to get out of here this week, I promise. Let's just read verse 33 one more time. So likewise, whosoever he be of you who forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherein shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He who has ears, let him hear. Now Jesus here has been talking, and we've been talking about discipleship as we finish that up here momentarily about discipleship. And last week, we talked about being the disciple the Lord have us do, and the cost of discipleship that it takes to be a disciple. Now Jesus here, when he talks about salt is good, but if salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Question mark. It is fit for nothing. Salt is no good without being able to enhance something. I mean, that's the only reason you want salt is for the taste. You ever, we all ate food. You ever been put on a diet where you couldn't eat no salt? Oh, Lord, help us. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, salt substitute is not the same, okay? It ain't the same as salt. Salt is a preserver. There's a lot of things we can say about salt today on it. But that's what Jesus is saying here. And what he's basically saying is, you can't be a follower to me. And he talked about last week, unless you forsake everything. Now he's talking about you can't be a half-hearted follower. You know, you got to be all in. We got to be the salt of the earth, the salt that, of things of Christ, because we make a difference. And he's talking about if we're going to be half-hearted, you know, he talks about that too in another place in the Bible. If we're going to be half-hearted, we're no good to it. If we're going to, we're not going to be the total salt of the earth, because there's no such thing as, well, that's just half salt. We never took up a salt shaker and shook it out and says, well, that's just half salt. That's not whole salt. That's not 100% salt. So that's what he's saying here. He's talking about you need to be 100% so you can penetrate, so you can be effective. If you're not, you can't be a disciple of mine. He says, because salt is worthless if it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Now think about what he's saying. If we're not what we're supposed to do, what good are we? See, that's why that stamp ticket to hell thing, yeah, we're born again, but that really is not pleasing to God as far as in our walk as being a disciple of His. You know, we can say, well, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know I'm a sinner and need His shed blood, and we all do, and thank God for that. I'm not knocking that. But I am saying that's not the end of what we're all about when it comes to being a disciple, is it? He has called us to be about His work. And that's what He's saying here. He says, forsaking all, what He said in verse 33, you can't be my disciple what you don't. Then He says here, you need to be about being something. Make a difference. Influence. Salt influences food. It makes better. It enhances food. And as a child of God, we already have the power within us to make a difference in this world, to influence this world, because He's already in us. And that's what Christ has to do. We talk about we want to be obedient to the Lord. And by the way, let's just say this too. When we are busy in things of the Lord, think about this. We don't have time to maybe get caught up in some stuff we ought not be doing a lot of times. If we have an objective of life tomorrow, today, to get up and say, Lord, and that's what we keep hammering, because talking about discipleship, of Lord, I want to serve You, and this is what You have destined for me to do today. This is the work I feel like You'd have me to do. This is what I'm going to do every day I get up. Somewhere I'm going to make a difference. If we get up that, all of a sudden, we don't get caught up with a bunch of cares of this world, do we? So if we get up every morning with salt as being salt, how am I going to make a difference today for the cause of Christ? Not for me, not to get a pat on the back, not to get a thank you card, oh, you're a wonderful, swell person, but because we want to make a difference for the cause of Christ, and because He's called us to be disciples. As we said last week, there's no disciples you see sitting around down at the fish yard. Okay, they was either all in, or they turned around, went back, went fishing, and God dealt with them. That's what you see, our disciples, all in. So there is a work, a part of. And Christ puts that in us, by the way. You know, when you come to Christ, you remember when you got saved, you wanted to tell somebody? You remember that? You wasn't really wanting to hold it in. You know, you didn't have a problem really letting people know. Because why? It was a good thing that happened to you. It was a miraculous thing that happened to us when Christ came in our heart. There was joy that filled our soul. There was peace. It was a miraculous event the moment Christ come set up shop in our heart and we became born again. And a miraculous great event like that is hard to contain when you live in the world we live in. And that's very scripture. If you see the early church, when they come to Christ, they had to tell others and tell somebody else too, didn't they? Because why? It's a great thing that happened. And if we think back to the moment we become born in, I remember the moment I accepted Christ, boy, the peace that flooded my soul immediately. I said, wow, never had this before. And then when we talk about sharing Christ, that's why we don't have to go out with some memorized program. We can just say, hey, you can have the peace that I have by faith through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you the peace He put in me. And sometimes it's just that much basic of having the peace of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, let's not forget about that. The importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling in a child of God's life. And how do we get that presence? By acknowledging we're born a sinner. You know what we got to do to go to hell? Just stay like we are as we're born. We're born that way. Why? We don't have a Redeemer. But by faith, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because His shed blood on the cross that He shed is the only thing that will wash away our sins. And by faith, we put our faith and trust in His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Ask Him to come in our heart and save us. And ask Him to be Lord and our Savior and say, I'm going to be a disciple of you and wash away my sins by faith. I believe that wash away my sins. And He says, I give you eternal life then, and you become a child of mine. And we accept that by faith. And when we do, God honors faith. And when we do that, we immediately become born again into the family of Christ. The Holy Spirit miraculously comes, sets up shop in our heart and soul, Liam. Can't explain it, but it happens. It's a miracle that happens. And by faith, we are born again into the family of God. And He never leaves us, He never forsakes us, and He's always with us from then on out. Even when we stray, what's drawing us back? The power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're a child of His. He loves us, and He wants to draw us back to Him. That's what salvation is all about, being born again into the family of God. And by faith, we must have a Redeemer to wash away our sins. And Jesus Christ is the only one who can do that. There's no other way. We can't do it ourselves. There's no religion that'll do it. There's no other person that. It's only through faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is ask Him to come in your heart and save you. And by faith, say, I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe You shed blood in Calvary's cross. Forgive me my sin. By faith, I receive You. Why? Because I need a Redeemer, and I believe You wash away my sins. I believe You, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and I make You Lord of my life. Simple as that. And anybody can say that prayer if they come willingly to the Lord. Anybody can come to the Lord that by it. Because see, the Lord looks on the heart. He don't look on the outside. And He looks on our heart. Now, so we know we have Christ living within us, and that's a wonderful event and a wonderful thing now. And then when we come to Christ, we're just not to sit down and say, well, glory to God, I'm saved. Let's go to church and enjoy the preaching and sing a song. No, that ain't what He said, is it? He says, go be witnesses. He said, tell the whole world of the gospel of Jesus Christ and share it. And the Holy Spirit puts that in us because, why, at the moment of salvation, we don't mind telling somebody, do we? Well, because it's a great event. And look, it's a wonderful thing. We can't let the world and Satan hamper us as Christians, and we can't get distance from thought through this humanistic thinking of the world. They can tell us all their old garbage and junk going on, but we need to tell them the truth of, hey, this is the truth. This is real. Jesus Christ in my heart is real. The peace of God is real and is available to you if by faith you receive. And there's all kind of benefits that go along with that. Let's just start for eternal life. You can't kill me. You might kill this flesh, but you ain't killing this soul. Because why? I'm blood bought by Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. He says, I have an eternal home. I will never die. I like what Brother Jimmy says all the time. I'm as dead as I'll ever be. That's good, ain't it? Well, think about it. Now, so what we're trying to do, be disciples, and let's encourage one another to share what we have. And let's don't be hampered by things where we don't have to get in debate. I don't debate. It is what it is. You know, I say, well, I pray for you. Holy Ghost get a hold of you and do a whole lot more worse than I would over in a headlock with you. You know? And because, look, the Holy Ghost, when they cut that light at night and lay their head on a pillow, the Holy Ghost can do more work in somebody's soul in a time like that than any of us sitting around debating and arguing. All we do is plant a seed and be a light. All through God's Word, that's what He said. So, are we going to let or be the salt? Because remember, if we're not, we're useless. We're useless. What are we contributing to the kingdom of God? And this is Jesus speaking here. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. And Jesus is telling them here, so he's got a crowd around. He's talking to the old scribes and Pharisees, and there's some other people around here. And he says, you hear, this is the truth that I'm telling you. You're hearing the truth here, and you can make a decision or not make a decision based off that. So we've been talking about discipleship, and we'll finish up that part with discipleship. Now let's go to chapter 15, and we're going to change gears here a little bit as Jesus talks about coming to the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Now, bear in mind, publicans and the sinners. Publicans was outcasts in Roman society. They was tax collectors. They was considered the religious crowd, scribes and Pharisees, considered them as sinners and outcasts. Right up there were murderers and everything else, and they was against, they considered them traitors to Israel and to the Lord. And so now Jesus is teaching here, and you see that they draw near to him. Why? They're outcasts in society, and they hearing this message of how they can be a part of the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, we got to remember too, a lot of people will ask us questions that may seem crazy, far-fetched, debatable or what, a lot of times because there's an interest in what we are all about. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever take some crazy question that somebody comes up and asks you as a sign of debate immediately or a sign of anti-God immediately. A lot of people will come up and lead into you with a question anti-God or questioning things of God. But it's not, a lot of times I found, it's not because every time they want to debate. The Lord is dealing with them a lot of times, and they're wanting to engage in more information. Oh, because that's, and so we must remember that I've encountered that many times. And that's why anytime somebody comes up and makes a comment, negative or pro, I always think this could be the opportunity, you know, and the Lord could be dealing with these people. And we could be the one. Now, if we come back with some smart mouth answer, we've killed our opportunity that the Lord placed for us there. See, that's getting in the flesh. That's right. We're not salt at that point. Good point. That's right. So always remember that some people ask because they are hungry. These Republicans, and I mean these publicans and sinners here, was hungry for what Christ was. Now, but when we look and we see the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Well, how in the world can a man go along here and claim to be the Christ child and be who he is and the Son of God, and here he is over here with the sinners, and he's gathering with the sinners.
The unclean.
The unclean.
That's what they were thinking.
That's exactly right. That's right. That's exactly right. The unclean, the sinners, how could he be coming and call himself Christ and call himself who he is and be? But let's remember what we are and what Christ was. Christ was not of this world, but he was in the world trying to reach people for the Lord. And is that not what the Lord have us do? Now let's go back to chapter 4. We're talking about being a disciple. You know, we're to follow Christ. Be what he'd have us be, his example. Here we see an example of Christ over with sinners. The sinners are drawn to him by his message, and he's ministering to them. But what does religion always do? And we talk about that so many times, don't we? Boy, I tell you, in the religious world, we can get a list and we can just crucify, can't we? All day long. We can find fault with everything. I mean, that's why perhaps we have so many denominations today. This group started finding fault with this group, or this and over here, and this and over here.
Judging one another.
And a lot of them got off of what God's Word said and started going off with some stuff that ain't in the Bible and God's Word. But see, and what has it done for the body of Christ? It's not been good, has it? We have division. Think about it. The Lord gave one criteria for us all gathered around the throne in glory one day. Amen. Born again. Child of God. Are you blood bought? He didn't say all these things, did he? That's why it's important we know the Word of God, but it's also important that we have the heart to reach people. What if everybody, we didn't go out and promote? It is with the Lord. See, man has complicated things. And see, here we see the religious leaders. Jesus saying, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's done performed miracles and proved who he is. He's done shown the love. He's done everything he can do. And still we have the religious crowd sitting on the sidelines. Look here. Going with the unclean over there. Look here. Running with... Look at the sinners. Yes. Look at there. He healed somebody on the Sabbath. And all these rules and regulations... But here's the thing. How is our heart with the Lord? Because see, it's been my experience. If our heart is where it ought to be with the Lord, all this other stuff falls its place. You can't have a right relationship with God and have a hard feeling or look toward people in the wrong way. Let me say that again. We can't have a right relationship with the Lord and our heart be turned toward somebody else in a negative way. It's just impossible.
You block it.
That's right. It's impossible for us to have a right relationship with God and not be right with our fellow man.
You can't find fault with our brother.
No.
And
that's what's concerning because... That's right. And that's what's concerning is because we see a lot of people meaning well, Christian people, and boy, they will just rip somebody... A brother or sister in Christ, and I ain't never having nothing to do with him. I ain't done anything, blah, blah, blah. And they say, but I love you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. It also blocks blessings, the healings.
Exactly.
There's people that suffer because they held regret or whatever against another. They talk all the time about the fact that, you know, if you have a hard feeling towards someone, chances are it's not doing anything to them. Mm-hmm. It's just poisoning them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that is deception and a lie from Satan that tells us that we're okay. And we can go back and we can go back and we can say, but you don't know what they done to me and you don't know. But boy, it don't matter. Because why? Relationship with God. See, Satan will use anything he can to mar our relationship with the Heavenly Father. Because why? That's where our power comes from, is a right relationship with the Lord as a child of God. And if we buy into worldly thinking and things, and look, they are bad things that come along, but look, as we talked last week, getting off this thing of defeat as a Christian because of we want to hang on to sin. I'm getting off of that. And I'm just saying, if we're wrong, we're wrong. I had a man call me yesterday that heard our radio thing, and I just know this guy. You know, when I hadn't seen him in years, but I just know of him. Used to go to church with him years ago. And I didn't know a lot of these things happened in his life, but he called me and he was telling me about, he listened to our program, what a blessing it was to him. He just wanted to let us know, you know, about, he appreciate what we was teaching and saying. And he also listened to Brother Jimmy, and he also listened to Brother Taylor on the radio and things. And he was talking about the radio things. But he says, you know, I got a God's will 4 or 5 years ago. And he says, and this guy had been a deacon in a church, faithful in a church. And he told me, he says, you know, he says, I started drinking. And he says, they'd ask me to be a deacon in the church. And he says, I'd go down to the altar and pray and pray and pray and pray. And he says, and I'd go home and open up a can of beer. And he said, I don't know what you call an alcoholic, but he said, I'd call myself an alcoholic because every day I had to have 3 or 4 beers every day. Had to have it, emo Sunday. And he says, you know, he says, and I went and talked to a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians when I was going through that. And he says, you know, I only had 2 people that I talked to the whole time that told me my drinking was wrong. He said, I had 2 people. He said, one was my daughter and the other one was a local pastor here in town. He said, I went to a lot of Christian people and they says, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because if you do say there's something wrong with it, you're judging them.
Well, his point is being, though, he's proven the fact that there was something wrong with it. And he says, they should have told me. But he was bringing it up to them, and they were saying, no, not a problem. Not a problem. And he says there was a problem with it, because he said that was what was holding me back. And he says, we get to wondering off adding things. And of course, I told myself, you know, there's a lot of things. It's not just alcohol, but alcohol is wrong for a child of God, because anything puts influence over us other than the power of the Holy Spirit is wrong. And I don't want to just get hung up on that one thing, because there are other things. I mean, we can get on a lot of things that hamper our walk with the Lord. So I don't want to just sit there and hammer on that one thing. But his point was, that was what was holding him back. But anyway, he said God got a hold to him one day, and he asked God to forgive him, and God dealt with him in a miraculous way. And he says his life's been different ever since. He just started weeping on the phone about the goodness of God, how God restored him, and how he says, you know, a lot of problems, me and my wife sitting on top, a lot of problems we was having was due to my alcohol, and a lot of problems. But he says, but we have to say, and his point was, he says, I appreciate you saying sin is sin, and what ain't sin. Because he says, nowadays we don't want to talk about what is sin. And I told him, I says, it don't matter what I say, brother, it's what God said. And you know, if we look, we all have sin. We all, and I ain't just picking out alcohol one thing. There's gossip, there's selfishness, there's pride, there's a lot of things. And look, the devil can use each one of them to get to us. But look, the Bible talks of warning one another as children of God. Warning of things that the Satan uses. These are tools of the devil. What did it do? It brought him down. Now he has joy. He has victory. He's walking where the Lord hadn't been, and been that way for a year, year and a half now. And by the way, Tony, he knows you and your daughter, and said you used to ride horses out yonder. He says it's important that you know and your daughter know. He says it's important. He says I want them to know that God got and changed me. Okay. He says, I want you to know that. And he says, I know Tony Hale. I heard him on that tape on the radio in there. And he says, it's important to me that he know and his daughter know.
The world would have us shun when somebody does something wrong. The world would tell you to shun and push them off and stay away from them, because they're going to bring you down.
Right.
That's what the world.
Scribes and Pharisees.
That's the very one I'm supposed to be lifting up.
That's right.
And going out. That's what Jesus Christ told me. And I mean, you know, when they down, you don't want to just keep kicking.
No. So, well, I thought that was a great testimony, him saying that. Because he says, you know, he was concerned for where he was and where he had been. Now, the point is loving people back to Christ. Look, let me tell you this. Every one of us have a spiritual hot button, and Satan knows what it is.
It's about that big
round. Let me say this. Every one of us have a spiritual hot button, and Satan knows what it is. And the Bible talks about any time we get up here and get to flying high, and we think we so spiritual and so much over, well, I don't drink, and I don't cuss, and I don't chew, and I don't run people that do. Well, you better look out, hotshot, because they ain't never one of us in here. That's right. That is old flesh. And that's why we talk about things like this, because, hey, we live in a real world out here. There's a lot of junk for us to get sucked into. And if ain't something, Satan will create something tomorrow that you didn't see coming and drag you through it if you ain't careful. Me too. It'll be something you don't even see coming, blindsided. But, you know, that's why the relationship with the Lord is much, because, see, the Holy Spirit, we have to sit there, and then we're going to be, Lord, my relationship's important with you. Because, see, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you realize that when these things come, even when you fail, you say, but I got to get out of this, Lord, and ask forgiveness to get this right, because my relationship with you is more important. I might have messed up, but I got to get this right, because my relationship with you is more important. Because why? The peace of God walking with us, the presence, we're His children. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. We can't walk around with all that junk. But if we keep our eyes on walking with, hand in hand with the Lord, if we do mess up, He'll restore us. And that's our motivation for putting it on. That's all that matters. Boy, we fight and carry on about a lot of things that really don't matter a lot of times, don't we? About a lot of things don't matter. But these old scribes and Pharisees, you know, looking down on the people that need it. You know, sometimes we have people come in and we kind of look at them like, I don't know about it. No. Look, that's what we all in this boat together. Let me tell you, remember that? Sitting at the mall and people watching, and everybody walking around is a soul that my Savior died for.
That's right.
When you sit out here in this church this morning, you look across this congregation, every person is a soul that my Savior and your Savior died for.
That's right.
As a soul within them. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's what the Bible teaches, what Christ taught. And if we have that right attitude toward that soul, Christ died for that soul.
Amen.
My Lord, my Savior died for that. They're souls and people. That's what it's all about. And it's eternity. And that old soul is going to spend eternity in one place other than a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Or my Lord and Savior made a way for a place in heaven called eternity with Him. With Him for eternity. And it's all good. And He loved the world so much He made that way. So when we think about that, it's if you look at people as a soul, don't look at, because man, we got a lot of weird looking people nowadays, okay? But look at Christ washing that soul. Look, I go to Guitar Center up in Atlanta from time to time. Been up there in quite a while, but I used to go up there, and it's right on 85, right in downtown Atlanta, and it's a big Walmart of guitar things, and it's loud. And, I mean, it's like going to Chuck E. Cheese. Everybody's in there, all that stuff going on, drums and junk. Man, there's some cats in there. I don't know where they come from. I mean, if I want to see some dudes and some wild stuff, go to Guitar Center in Atlanta.
They dressed like, you'd say that was God, but they sat down and talked to Lynn one day about God.
Yeah, that's right. So, but it's within. There's a soul within all of them. There's a soul within everybody. And my Lord, my Savior gave you and I commandments to be about those souls for His kingdom. You see how this works? Boy, if we look at it like that, don't we? And look, we'll give an account one day for what we do with all these souls. How do we make a difference, an impact on the kingdom of God? And that's an individual inventory question. That ain't something I can tell you and you can tell me. That's an individual thing between each one of us and our Lord and Savior. Because see, here's the thing about it. Nobody knows what you do on your job every day. Nobody knows what I do on my job every day. Nobody knows the people we encounter and things. See, that's the way it's supposed to be, yo. But God's supposed to know. See, so we ain't got to be out here in the limelight, standing up in front of the church, teaching a class this morning. All it's serving Jesus, darling. It ain't where it's done. It's done out yonder. And in our individual lives, individual days, wherever we out with people, that's what God's watching. And that's where really the rubber meets the road. And we talk about character a lot today, but the character of being a child of God. To a lost and dying world. To the old unclean. To the clean. It'd be to the clean, the affluent. They need Jesus too. They don't think they do, but they do. But sometimes the unclean don't think they do either, but they do. And it's our job to tell of Jesus Christ. Talking about being a testimony is something that we have experienced. And that is something we have experienced. Now, it's about time to end here. I don't want to get back in this next section here. But this man receives sinners and eats with them. Would you, we need to make sure we don't never shun nobody because of their actions. And that was the story we told this morning. It don't matter if it's a brother in Christ fail. When I was coming up, I was affiliated with a church to where if a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ failed, they cut them off.
Yep.
I come up in a church like that. And I'm going to tell you, that's from the pits of hell. This Bible, my Savior, does not teach it. Good people, meaning well, just slip up. Sometimes it wasn't even their fault. Sometimes it wasn't even their deal, but nobody investigated because they done that and excommunicated them out of the body of Christ. And put them out. That ain't what Jesus says do, is he? It says to love everybody. Look, we all have our faults. But that's, now let's think about this. If we have our faults, ain't that the reason why Jesus would say encourage one another? Ain't that the reason why he would say make disciples? Look, y'all have heard that song, He's Still Working On Me. I don't know about y'all, but he's still working on me.
Amen.
And you know, I thank the Lord he is, ain't he? And look, we're always making disciples in life. That's why you're here this morning. You want a little bit more. Something to help us in that old walk next week. Because it's rough out there, y'all. We live in this world. We're not of this world, but we have to stay in this world, okay? And it's a rough walk. But the Lord will walk with us and help us if we seek to grow in Him. If you seek, ask God to help us. Pray and ask Him, Lord, help me today. Lord, I seek You. Lord, I desire, Lord, to serve You. And Lord, I know I have a lot of failures, but Lord, help me to grow. You know what you'll find yourself a year from now? You'll be stronger in the Lord than you are today. Because let me tell you, the Lord, if we ask Him to help us, is not going to turn a deaf ear to us and not help us. And look, we all out to fail God. But it's all about encouraging, lifting up, making disciples, and helping one another. And it ain't just always physically helping. It's praying for one another, encouraging one another. Well, this is a rough walk, but it's, God is with us, and we have the power within us to make it through. But they are victories. I heard an old preacher say one time, his secretary says, "Brother, you sure do go through." And this guy here had some homes that he kept a lot of people in, and the state was fighting him all the time, and all done a great work for alcoholics and things like that. And he said, his secretary told him one day, says, "How do you handle all the battles? How, don't you get tired of fighting all the time?" And he says, because they say it's very few victories. He says, yes, they are very few victories. But when we do have a victory, they so good they overcome the long terms of the fights that we have. And that's the way it is. And look, we ain't home yet. See, and as we serve God and make disciples and do what He, there's rewards laid up for us. And our Heavenly Father's making a place for us. And He blesses us too when we serve Him and walk with Him. And that's why we want to serve Him. That's why we want to walk with Him. That's why we want to desire to have a close fellowship with Him. And that's why I want to encourage one another and love one another in the Lord till we get to the heavenly home. Then one day, I hope everybody in this room, I hope one day everybody knows the Lord in this room, we're all gathered around the throne and said, "Boy, we encouraged one another down on the yonder, didn't we? We failed a lot, but we didn't beat another one another up. We prayed for one another, lifted one another up. We all got junk and problems and situations. But boy, ain't it great here today? And ain't it great to have more loved ones with us here?" And that's what it should be all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We